What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 63. We're talking about who true Israel is. We already mentioned that the biblical descendants of the Israelites are the black man today, and I'm going to show you in scripture why I believe that and why I hold on to that. We'll be studying out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. But before I get into that, I just want to talk about how I came to this understanding. It was in 2015, and at this time, there was some police violence going on with, you know, citizens. And I started to say, you know, why does this keep happening to us? Why is it always this another black man got shot by the police, you know, and you would hear about it often here and there, but it became more prominent and it just got my attention. You know, I'm just like, why is this keep? This is ridiculous. And I began to just dig deeper into it, do some research, and found that this was a big thing. We're most likely to be killed by the police. We're most likely to be sent to prison for minor offenses. The same offense a white person would commit, a black person would get, you know, double the time or whatever. And it's just like, what's going on here? Why are we being mistreated like this? How come? And I began to look at my own past and look at many of the racial encounters I faced in corporate America, and like, what is this, you know? And I started to do a lot of research. I started to look at all the old time civil rights movement leaders, Martin Luther King. I listened to a lot of his speeches, Malcolm X, a lot of his speeches, the Nation of Islam. But their take on it was the black conscious community. Is a community of people who believe they are awakened, and they talk about it. You know, what the white man's doing, what the black, you know, what the black man should do. And I came across all this information, and then I came across the black Hebrew Israelites. Now, I'd heard of them prior to me doing the research and really thinking on this issue, and they always came off as just kind of just angry and just upset with white folks, and it didn't, you know, resonate to me that what they were saying, because they were saying, yeah, we're actually Hebrews. We're actually the Israelites. But their behavior was just off-putting, you know. And I chalked it up to, okay, just people that just don't have no identity. They just took somebody's identity, you know. But when you really think about what they're saying, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so for me, I said, okay, I'm going to look at what they're saying, because they only had one proof text, really, and that's Deuteronomy 28. And everything else they teach, you know, whether you got to keep the law or the white man's the devil and he can't get salvation, all that other stuff, you could throw all that out. But when it comes to what are they saying, you know, and I said, I'm going to go ahead and look at it. And they said, Deuteronomy 28 shows us that we're the people because of the curses. The curses show us. I said, okay. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to ask him about it. I'm going to study this for myself without any more input from you guys. And I'm going to just look at this clean slate with the Holy Spirit. And I did it, and I studied it, and I said, wow, this is us. You know, so today we're going to go through some passages in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to pull out some passages that speak very well to who we are. And if anybody who's been on my site or been a subscriber to this ministry, they already know that, you know, I've written extensively about Black Hebrew Israelites and his articles about it. But this is the sermon podcast side of the ministry. So there needs to be an audio recording side of it. So that's why I'm doing this. And I'm also doing this series on Israel. So let's get right into it. Well, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation just because it reads better. You can do this in the King James Version. It's the same thing. It's going to say the same thing. But just for reading purposes and smooth reading, I'm going to come out the New Living Translation. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. All right. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go and wherever whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord will, your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commandments I am giving you today, nor follow after the other gods and worship them. Here's 15. This is where it turns into the curses. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. First, I want to talk about what a curse is. A curse simply is a misfortune, a bad thing happening to you. You can understand a curse by a blessing. A blessing is a good thing. The good things just work out for you. You just have just a bunch of fortune and everything was working for you. All right. And he mentioned some examples before, you know, your crops, you plant them, everything, just, you know, water comes, it rains, everything working out. Right. So the opposite of that is things just not working the way they should. Okay. You have misfortune. Things are just not working for you, you know, and this is because God has removed his blessing from you and things, the negative things are just happening. All right. So that's what a curse is. And we'll talk about how to get rid of the curse and at the end of all of this, and also, you know, how to maintain the blessings of God. But he goes through the line here. Verse 16, he says, your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. Your offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Whenever you go and wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion and frustration in everything you do until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. The Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with the wasting diseases, fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. The skies above will be as unyielding as bronze, and the earth beneath will be as hard as iron. The Lord will change the rain that falls on your land into powder, and dust will pour down from the sky until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your corpse will be food for all the scavenging birds and wild animals, and no one will be there to chase them away. The Lord will inflict you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, scurvy, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in the dark, in the broad daylight, rather, like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. You will be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. You will build a house, but someone else will live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will never enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be butchered before your eyes, but you will not eat a single bite of the meat. Your donkey will be taken from you, never to be returned. Your sheep and goats will be given to your enemies, and no one will be there to help you. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. A foreign nation You have never heard about will eat the crops you worked so hard to grow. You will suffer under constant oppression and harsh treatment. You will go mad because of all the tragedy you see around you. The Lord will cover your knees and legs with incurable boils. In fact, you will be covered from head to toe. The Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There, in exile, you will worship gods of wood and stone. You will become an object of horror, ridicule, mockery among all the nations to which the Lord sends you. You will plant much but harvest little, for locusts will eat your crops. You will plant vineyards and care for them, but you will not drink the wine or eat the grapes, for worms will destroy the vines. You will grow olive trees throughout your land, but you will never use the olive oil, for the fruit will drop before it ripens. You will have sons and daughters, but you will lose them, for they will be led away into captivity. Swarms of insects will destroy your trees and crops. The foreigners living among you will become stronger and stronger, while you become weaker and weaker. They will lend money to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head and you will be the tail. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commandments and decrees he has given you, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. These horrors will serve as a sign and a warning among you and your descendants forever. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left thirsty, hungry, naked, and lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a distant nation against you from the end of the earth, swoop down on you like a vulture. It is a nation whose language you do not understand. A fierce and heartless nation that shows no respect for the old and no pity for the young. Its armies will devour your livestock and crops, and you will be destroyed. They will leave you no grain, no wine, olive oil, calves, or lambs, and you will starve to death. They will attack your cities until all the fortified walls in your land, the walls you trusted to protect you, are knocked down. They will attack all the towns in the land the Lord your God has given you. The siege and terrible distress of the enemy's attack will be so severe that you will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you. The most tender-hearted man among you will have no compassion for his own brother, his beloved wife, and his surviving children. He will refuse to share with them the flesh he is devouring, the flesh of one of his own children, because he has nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all of your towns. The most tender and delicate woman among you, so delicate she would not so much as touch the ground with her foot, will be selfish toward her husband she loves and toward her own son or daughter. She will hide from them the afterbirth and the new baby she has born, so she herself can secretly eat them. She will have nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all your towns. Now, all that about eating their own flesh, that was already, we've seen that happen, I think, in the book of in the Chronicles and First Kings, and one of those books, where it was a famine, and that's what they were doing. And this is because of what God said was going to happen to them. So today we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that's just that focuses on Black people today, you know. But some of these things already happened, you know. So continuing on, verse 58, if you refuse to obey all the words of instruction that are written in this book, and if you do not fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will overwhelm you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. He will inflict you with all the diseases of Egypt that you fear so much, and you will have no relief. The Lord will afflict you with every sickness and plague there is, even those not mentioned in the book of instruction, until you are destroyed. Though you become as numerous as the stars in the sky, few of you will be left because you would not listen to the Lord your God. Just as the Lord has found great pleasure in causing you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you. You will be torn from the land you are about to enter and occupy. For the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship foreign gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods made of wood and stone. There among those nations you will find no peace or place to rest. And the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. Your life will constantly hang in the balance. You will live night and day in fear, unsure if you will survive. In the morning you will say, if only it were night. And in the evening you will say, if only it were morning. For you will be terrified by the awful horrors you see around you. Then the Lord will send you back to Egypt in ships to a destination I promise you would never see again. There you will offer to sell yourselves to your enemies as slaves, but no one will buy you. Hey, so that's the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28. And I want to bring out one verse to get started. It says here in verse 46, it says, these horrors will serve as a sign and a warning among you and your descendants forever. So he said these horrors will serve as a sign. All right. A sign is pretty much just showing you who these people are. Who are these people? And it'll be on us. And so even if we were to forget who we are, our heritage, and I'll explain how that happened later on, these curses serve as a sign to who God's people are. All right. And everybody knows this. All these surrounding nations know, well, those are the people of God, because look at the condition they're in. You know, they know that. And these horrors serve as a sign. So that's just, I just want to bring that out, that that's part of the curse. But it's a signal to everybody else that these are the people, just in case you forgot or you acting like you don't know who Israel is. Those are the people. So, all right, so let's go into some of these curses here. All right, so I'm going to go back to the top here. In verse 22, it says, the Lord will strike you with wasting disease, fever, and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. All right, so Black people lead in not only mental illness, but just diseases as well. And it's specifically in this country, in the United States. The seven deadliest diseases for Black people here, and I found this at the WebMD website. Diabetes is 60% more common in Black Americans than in White Americans. Blacks are up to 2.5 times more likely to suffer a limb amputation and up to 5.6 times more likely to suffer kidney disease than other people with diabetes. African Americans are 3 times more likely to die from asthma than white Americans. Strokes, cancer. Cancer treatment is equally successful for all races, yet Black men have a 40% higher cancer death rate than white men. African Americans, women have a 20% higher cancer death rate than white women. You just look at the data, you can see that these things are on us. Now, America is sick in general because of what they eat and all this kind of stuff. But when you look at Black people, you see some different levels of disease, some higher levels. And you're like, why is that? Here's another article here from self.com. And but regarding mental health, and this is called 8 health conditions that disproportionately affect Black women. And then another one, the first one is heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. Around 7.6% of Black women have heart disease, compared to 5.8% of white women and 5.6% of Mexican American women, according to Center of Disease Control and Prevention data from 2011 to 2013. In 2016, around 46 of every 100,000 Black women died from strokes, while 35 of every 100,000 white women died from strokes. And while white women's diabetes diagnosis rate is 5.4 per 100, that number is 9.9 per 100 for Black women, according to CDC data from 1980 to 2014, almost double. Breast cancer, Black women have a 1 in 9 chance of developing breast cancer, while white women have a 1 in 8 chance. Cervical cancer, research published in January in the journal Cancer found that not only are Black women more likely to die of cervical cancer than women of other races, they're also 77% more likely to die from it than experts previously thought. Prior estimates said 5.7 black women per 100,000 would die of the disease, but this new research puts the number at 10.1 per 100,000. And they mention this, that unlike breast cancer, cervical cancer is absolutely preventable in this day and age, Dr. Phillips says. In 2017, no woman should be diagnosed with cervical cancer. Yet, black women still keep getting diagnosed with that. And this, they mentioned the HPV vaccine that had something to do with it. And there's a bunch of reasons why these things are happening, but as far as the core, but we know that these are the curses, all right? And I'll talk about how curses work later on, but we have a premature delivery. A bunch of women, black women, primarily having premature babies. It's just giving birth prematurely or going into labor before 37 weeks of pregnancy. Unfortunately, black women are particularly susceptible to going into labor too early. According to the CDC, the 2015 preterm birth rate in black women was 13%. For white women, it was just 9%. Sickle cell disease. We just keep going here. Sexually transmitted diseases. Rates of reported chlamydia cases in black people decreased 11.2% from 2011 to 2015, according to CDC. There was a similar downward trend with gonorrhea. And I mentioned this in another article of mine about gonorrhea and these things. So it's good that it's declining, but black women still outpace other groups when it comes to new diagnosis of these diseases, along with new diagnosis of syphilis. This problem also extends to HIV/AIDS. Besides black men, black women comprise a majority of new HIV/AIDS diagnoses per year, although the number is thankfully falling. For example, according to CDC, in 2015, 45,000 black women were diagnosed with HIV in the United States, while 1,431 white women and 1,100 Hispanic Latino women received the same diagnosis. Here's a quote from another doctor, Dr. Hutchinson. He says, "It's not like black women are having more sex than anyone else." Dr. Hutchinson says, "Access to good preventive care is the crux of it. If women could see health care providers on a regular basis and be educated about what they should be doing to take care of themselves, we probably wouldn't have as much of a problem." So they kind of talk about some of the solutions or why this is happening, but we believe this is a curses, all right? Mental health issues. And the scriptures talk about going mad. It's mental health, all right? Losing your mind because of what you're under, distress, all kind of stuff. Black people leading in that area. Overall, black people are 10% more likely to report experience serious psychological distress than white people, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. In 2017, we still face a lot of economic insecurity and racism in general. It's a problem that causes stress and anxiety, which then can lead to depression, et cetera, et cetera. Combined these factors resulted in 9.4% of black adults getting mental health treatment or some form of counseling in 2014 versus 18.8% of white people age 18 and older. You know, those are some statistics and data, and I'll link to these articles that link to other articles from these different research facilities and give you some understanding of what's going on. That's just it, you know. We're leading in these different diseases and stuff like this because God has put these curses on us. Verse 25, it says, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth." He mentions here that you will attack your enemies in one direction, but you will scatter them in, you know, this happened multiple times with Israel in the past. Because God wasn't on their side, they had ended up fleeing and being scattered. All right. "And then you'll be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth." Currently, you know, black men in particular, I looked at as they're horrifying. You know, guy ain't done nothing to nobody, but he's automatically vilified. And that's another, if you look up the word curse in the Hebrew, I was looking at the word curse in the Hebrew here. And one of the definition is vilification. That's what curse means. To be vilified. And so black people have been vilified. Verse 28, "The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic." A lot of black people are scared. They panic a lot. This is part of the curse. Because you don't have God's protection, you don't know God, you're panicking a lot. they actually make it part of jokes and make it, like a lot of comedians will, you know, when they'll tell jokes, they'll talk about how they scared of stuff, specifically men. And he's, you know, like Kevin Hart and I listen to that comedy. I don't like it because you're emphasizing that you're afraid and you're fearful. And it's not funny, you know, to be panicking like that. But they make a joke out of it. But that's the case with black people. A lot of black people are scared. Why? They don't have the Lord to protect them. They don't know the Lord. And so they're going to be panicking a lot about anything. We mentioned madness. That's just mental illness. That's part of the curse, it says here. Verse 29, you will grope around in the broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you will not find your way. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. So we see black people are the most oppressed people on the planet. They're robbed continually, and that's primarily through the church. And when you look at the word rob, it means to get money from somebody either by force or by intimidation. And what does the preacher do on Sunday? He intimidates you and tells you that you're not going to go to heaven, or God is not pleased with you, or you're going to have some kind of devourer take your finances away from you if you don't give him money. All right. And so you're being robbed. Some of you people who are still going to churches, you're getting robbed by your preacher through the tithe. All right. And that's where a lot of the money comes out of the black community. The church, this black man who sits up in there, that's part of the curse. He sent those people. A lot of those guys don't care less about the black community. They're in there to just take the money out. All right. So they're being robbed. Black people are being robbed every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Monday. Every time they pass that collection plate around, that's a form of it. All right. How are black people oppressed? We can go through down the line. Systematic oppression. If a black man goes to jail for something, he's more likely to get double the time. All right. The blacks are arrested 7 times more likely to be in prison than whites. I'm not going to go down the list of all the systematic, you know, oppression, all the examples of it. But we fit the people. You know, we definitely fit the people there. Another one here. This happened, you know, when we were in slavery and actual physical chains. Verse 30, it says, you will be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. This constantly happened. You could not build a relationship with a woman because the white man or the slave master, if he found her attractive, he would take her away, have sex with her, rape her, or whatever. It just went out like that. You couldn't have a woman. They would just mess it up. So you will be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. You will build a house, but someone else will live in it. Black people built America. They built the houses. They built these mansions. They built all this stuff, but they don't live in it. They outside, living in a shack somewhere. They built all this stuff, but they can't enjoy it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will never enjoy its fruit. Okay? Many of the vineyards and many of these companies who sell fine wine, that vineyard was planted, maintained by black folks, by Hebrews, and they had it, and these family had it over centuries. They had that vineyard because a black man planted it for them. But that black man does not benefit from all the benefits of, you know, the wine selling, everything that they made the money off of. He don't get none of that. And his ancestors are long gone. And these people sit around talking about our great vineyard, but y'all built that on the back of slaves. Well, why is this happening to them? Because of the curses. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. When black folks got stolen from the west side of Africa and put on ships and brought over to America and other places, they were set up on a block, and they didn't care if you had a family. They're going to break you apart. You're going to see your daughter and your son get shipped somewhere else, and they're going to tear your family up, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You're going to work on this plantation. Your sons and your daughter are going to work on another plantation. You ain't going to be able to talk to them, none of that. Okay? This is all the curse. We are the people. We are the only people that they did this to, okay? Verse 33, a foreign nation you have never heard of, about, will eat the crops you worked so hard to grow. You will suffer under constant oppression and harsh treatment, all right? So that's what we're dealing with, constant oppression, harsh treatment. It's what it is. I mean, if you can't see that we are the black people are the people, I don't know what else to tell you. And then verse 34 said, you will go mad because of all the tragedy you see around you. Many black people went mad, even on the boat on their way to America. They just jumped off the boat and they said, forget it, I'm done. They just drowned themselves. Today, a lot of people just, they're under oppression. I remember a story of a man who was taking all these pills to deal with racism on his job. He was trying his best to just keep going back to this racist environment where they were just constantly abusing him spiritually. And he's losing his mind, taking all these medications to deal with this. He's going mad. You know, you also see just black people in the streets. You know, you go downtown and just talking to themselves and lost their mind. What's happening? This is the curse. All right. Verse 36, the Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile, you will worship gods of wood and stone. He mentioned this a bunch of times. Us worshiping gods of wood and stone. I believe the two gods he's referring to is the god of wood is the wooden cross that the Catholics worship, the so-called Christians. They had that wooden cross. I believe that represents their god. You know, we know that they worship a false Christ, but the cross, this wooden cross, is what they also has as their logo for their religion or whatever. And when you see us walking around, you know, had that around our neck and praying to it and holding on to it. And, you know, and then they also, the other god of stone is Islam. You know, they have a big rock and that's their, they represents their god. And so those two different gods is very prevalent with black people, especially in America. You're either going to be a Christian or you're going to be a Muslim. Okay. And those are false gods. Allah, he, you know, that ain't God. That's Allah. And then you got this false Jesus that you're worshiping who's white and has been used to oppress you. And this is what we're in. All right. These are false gods. Verse 37, you will become an object of horror, ridicule, and mockery among all the nations to which the Lord sent you. They got so many words for black people. Any kind of a derogatory term, they got them in every language. We be constantly mocked. We're the lowest of the low of the people. Any environment you come into, if you black, you know, you're gonna have a problem. Okay. Ridicule, we're horror, and like once again, an object of horror. As a black man today, I'm still looked at as scary. Like I'm gonna do something to somebody. To this day, I'm in my late 30s, still being treated like some kind of thug. You know, they see me and they get scared, or they you know, they gotta defend themselves and they get all weird and stuff. And it's like, why are you acting like this? Why? Because I'm an object of horror, because my people are cursed. And so I have to bear the curses with them. Whereas verse 41, it says you will have sons and daughters, but you will lose them, for they will be led away into captivity. So that's just another connection to slavery. And even today, slavery never ended. The 13th Amendment made a loophole, basically stating that, yeah, slavery is abolished, but if you're convicted of a crime, we can still use you as a slave. So what do you think is going to happen? Well, they used that loophole and said, okay, we're going to give up slavery. We're not going to have people just taking people and putting them on ships or bringing them over here. We're just going to disproportionately just convict black people. And we put them in prison. And guess what they got them doing? Building missiles for the putting together jeans, putting together packaging for different companies like Starbucks. We're making license plates, of course, all kind of stuff we're doing in prison, working on a plantation, basically. But it's inside of a prison now. And they did it through conviction. OK, you're going to throw you in prison for something. Usually nonviolent offenses. A lot of black people are in there for nonviolent offenses. They just were selling weed or something, you know, which is not a moral issue. It's not. It's a plant God made. If people want to use it for whatever they want to use it for. But no, they're getting thrown in prison for that. 20 years. And what are they doing in there? They're working for a corporation, doing something for 23 cents an hour. And then they get charged 50 cents per half a minute to call their loved ones. Okay? This is slavery. Nothing's changed. They just hid it behind some bunch of steel walls or whatever, you know? So nothing's changed. But this is what's happening. They said, you will have sons and daughters, but you will lose them, for they will be led away into captivity. New captivity is the prison system. All they got to do is lie and say you did something, or find something you did that's against the law, and then lock you up for three times amount the time as somebody else. And they say, great. And these judges get kickbacks for it. we found there was a story that it came out where a judge, he got caught. He was getting paid to convict just to say, okay, put him in prison. Why is this happening to black people? Why are we so oppressed? Because God has cursed us, because we disrespected him. We did not follow his commandments. And until we change, we're going to be under this, under these curses. All right. Here's another one that is, that's so prevalent. For verse 43, the foreigners living among you will become stronger and stronger while you become weaker and weaker. They will lend money to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, you will be the tail. In every black community, you got a bunch of Asians up in there, Chinese folks selling you weave, all kind of stuff, making all the money, taking all the money out the community. You got the Arabs with the corner store, liquor stores, the gas stations, the cell phone stores, the convenience stores. They don't live there, but they got all the money. They taking all the money out of the community. Black folks are just, they poor. And they're lending from them. These also, they also double as check cashing places and also lending places. So you can go in and get you a loan or whatever, but you're getting a loan from them. Now, God said, if you blessed us, we would be loaning out and we wouldn't have to borrow from nobody. Okay? Yet, they're growing right in our communities. They're making all this money in our communities. And they leave and they go back to where they live at. But during the day, they living in our community. They're in our communities taking all the money out. They don't care nothing about us. You've seen how these Asian folk treat us. You've seen the stories, okay? Verse 45, it says, if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commands and decrees he has given you, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. These horrors will serve as a sign and a warning among you and your descendants forever. So a sign and a warning. This is showing everybody, if you disrespect God, this is what's going to happen to you. All right. Look at black people. That's what God is saying here. The sign is that we're the people. This shows us that we're the people simply by reading Deuteronomy 28, showing all the curses and seeing who this fits. That fits us. This is a sign to show everybody who we are. Okay. And for us to wake up and see who we are. But it also is a warning to everybody else. If you're doing this, you're also going to be under this at some point as well. Verse 48, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. Just pull up any slave image from the past. You see that big old iron yoke on that black man's neck. All right. That's what that is. All right. Harshly oppressed. Transatlantic slave trade. Everything involving that was the worst thing in history. Okay. And like I said, it's continued. It's just behind the prison walls now. Verse 49, the Lord will bring a distant nation against you from the end of the earth, and it will swoop down on you like a vulture. Now, in the King James, it says an eagle, and we know that America, their symbol is an eagle. So we kind of say, hey, this is America. It is a nation whose language you do not understand, a fierce and heartless nation that shows no respect for the old and no pity for the young. And we know America don't have respect for nobody. Okay. This is one of the worst nations ever. They got all their stuff through treachery and witchcraft. They came into this particular land and stole it from the natives. Then they stole black people, Hebrews, Israelites, from the west side of Africa, who had fled from Israel, from the Romans, brought them over here. Some of us are already enslaved by nations surrounding us. So they bought slaves that were already, black people were already slaves, but the rest of us, they stole. We had houses, we were free. Over in Africa, they just stole us. Okay, this is a heartless nation, a wicked nation. And so he says that we would be under them. Verse 40, 49, the Lord will overwhelm you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. The Lord will inflict you with every sickness and plague there is, even there those not mentioned in this book of instruction, till you are destroyed. So he's talking about stuff you don't even know about you'll be inflicted with. It goes on to say in verse 63, just as the Lord has found great pleasure in causing you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you. You will be torn from the land you are about to enter and occupy. So he talked about, and this happened. This just stuff, it repeatedly happened. And you can read the Old Testament. You can see what happened after they got these instructions. They went and did this stuff anyway, and they ended up being torn. But this is not all fulfilled in that time period. It's still happening today. Okay, because I can see people saying, see, that was back then. No, still happening today. He goes on to say, the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from the one end of the earth to the other. There will be no, there you will worship foreign gods. Neither you nor your ancestors have known gods made of wood and stone. He said, God will scatter you. There are at least 22 other verses in the Bible where God talks about just scattering Israel. Scatter, scatter, scatter in Israel. And that's a punishment where you don't have family. You don't have unity. You're scattered. Okay, so it's not only just a physical scattering, but a disunity. So we may be together in America. We may be living in the hood together, but there's no unity. We're still scattered mentally. We're not even together on that level. So this is part of the curse. It says here, finally, there among those nations, you will find no peace or place or rest. And the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. A lot of black people have despair because of the conditions that they're in. And then, you know, they turn to drugs to try to deal with it. They try to bury themselves in entertainment and other stuff. But this is what we're in, you know. And then we got other people who will try to pretend like they're not being oppressed. They're not in no kind of condition. They're lying to themselves. Okay. All these curses fit us. All these curses fit the black man. Now, when I talk about black people, I'm talking about the Hebrew, the Negro, the African-American, not the average, the African who comes over here on a plane, but the black man who came over here on a ship forcefully. Okay. See, everybody black ain't Israelites. Okay. And I want to be clear about that. Black is a classification that comes from white people to designate you in a place in society. And so he classifies anybody with brown skin with that particular label. But I'm talking specifically about the Negro. We were called Negroes. Before that, we were called Hebrews, Hebos, which is similar to Hebrew, because that's who we were. And then it became Negro, and then it became Afro-American, and it became African-American, and then it became Black. And some people still choose to use the word African-American because they don't like Black. But why is it that they keep changing who we are? Like, nobody else lets somebody tell them who they are, but we don't know who we are. Now, let's talk about these curses for a minute. If you look at a lot of these curses, you'll see that it's based in miseducation and misunderstanding. Black people, they don't know who they are, so they're eating foods they shouldn't be eating. They're under stress they shouldn't be under, but because they don't worship God, they fall victim to all of this stuff that is prevalent to them, and they're not protected. And so they end up with all these diseases and stuff, all right? When you get born again, like I have, my wife have, God begins to move you away from those things. We begin to get healing. We don't suffer from what other people suffer from. The curses don't affect you for the negative. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 28, that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you are a black person or a Hebrew, an Israelite, who has been born again, the curses, they won't hurt you. In other words, they'll be used to benefit you and better you. And I can think of some recent instances where it was a harmful and hurtful experience, but it actually did some good for me. And I may talk about that later on. But the bottom line is many of the different the curses that will fall on the people who are not born again. If white people try to even attempt to mistreat you some kind of way, it just won't work. They can't go as far as they want to go. It's been many times they've called the police on me, but it just couldn't go beyond that. They couldn't do anything because I'm protected by God. I'm blessed by God because I'm born again. I walk in the spirit of God. And so the black Hebrew Israelite will tell you, you need to keep the law. You need to go back up under the statutes and commandments. But you read the Old Testament, walking in the spirit allows you to actually obey God and keep the law. So it's not about just opening the Bible and trying to follow the commandments and stuff like that. You need to be born again and walk in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to please God. All right. So that's how you get from free from the curses. All right. You don't have to participate in the punishment of the people because you've been born again. So you got to die, be born again, filled with the Spirit, walk and obey God. And then those curses won't apply to you. Will negative things still happen to you? Yes, but they will work to your favor. They will work to your good. All right. So that's how it works. And like I said, back to the whole health thing, a lot of this stuff is just miseducation. Black people eating foods they shouldn't be eating. Once you get connected to the Holy Spirit, he'll start telling you about it. They don't eat that no more. Change your diet.
You sick and unhealthy and you crazy because you're eating stuff you shouldn't be eating. You don't know no better. Now you know who you are. You start getting connected back to your roots and you start eating the right stuff and you start being healthier. You know, these curses don't apply to you no more. The curses are simply based off of miseducation. You got your enemies on you. You don't know who you are. And that's why this stuff is happening to Black people. And so once you connect back to your God and follow him and walk in the spirit, that you start getting blessed. Things are changed. You see? So that's how it works. Giving this information to people in the past. You know, in 2015, I woke up and I presented this information to a few people on my blog publicly, but to people personally that I knew that I thought they would receive it. And one Black guy in particular who was Nigerian, he said, well, if we're the Hebrews, we would have known. How is it we didn't know we're the Hebrews? Well, the reason why we didn't know is because nations conspired to get rid of our heritage. And this is in two different places in Psalms chapter 8, verses 1-8. And then it's in Jeremiah 17, 1-4. And I'm going to read both of those to show you part of the curse is losing your heritage and serving other nations and stuff like that. So Psalms chapter 83, verses 1-8. This is a Song of Solomon. A psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And it goes on to mention, you know, the nations that were responsible, who were trying to conspire to get this thing done. Many of these nations still are here today. You know, the names may change, but they're still around. And so they know they can't kill Israel. They can't just destroy Israel because they're God's people. They know that. So they say, well, how can we mess them up? Well, we can get them to forget who they are. And so you see, when we came on slave ships and we were transported to America, you see like Roots, you see that TV series, one in particular, they was trying to beat this man and telling him, I mean, his name was Kunta Kinte, but he kept saying, your name is Toby now. He was changing his name, trying to get rid of his heritage and who he was and all that kind of stuff. Willie Lynch was also a part of that, where they was trying to just get rid of our heritage. And if we could forget who we are, we're easily controlled at that point. And that's why Black people don't know who they are. They go around doing whatever television teaches them or tells them who they are. You want to be a thug, a gangster, you women are sluts and hoes and all this stuff. And we just pick it up and do it. We don't know who we are. Because our heritage has been taken from us. It's been hidden from us, okay? And the nations conspired to do this. Why? They can't kill us off because we're God's people. They can't just eliminate us like they did some of these other nations around here. Because we're God's chosen people. You can't just take them out. We're protected. But they can mess with us by clearing out our heritage and getting rid of it and trying to hide it from us, all right? Another passage is in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 1-4. It says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. While your children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy sustenance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high place for sin throughout all thy borders. And though even thyself shalt discontinue from thy heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thy enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. And that's the key verse. Verse 4, it says, thou shalt, you know, discontinue from thy heritage. All right. So you got a heritage, which is a culture, a language, a religion. He says, I'm going to discontinue you from that. So what is he saying? I'm going to rip that from you. That's the worst thing to have. Amnesia, not knowing who you are, because anybody can tell you anything. You don't know who you are. They can tell you, oh, you see, oh, you this, you're that. And that's why they can tell these young boys that they thugs and gangsters and they'll believe it. All you can aspire to be is a basketball player and a rapper. That's it. You ain't nothing else. Your history is stolen from you. All you know is that you were a slave. That's your beginning of your history. That's what they teach Black people in school today. Where's my history? Well, it starts in slavery. You were on the boat. they picked you up. What about all before that? Don't worry about that. You're just a slave. And so all you know is you ain't nothing. But who did that? Well, God allowed it as punishment. And the nations carried it out. All right. And the scattering, we're all over the place. Black people are all over the place. We came from one area, but the transatlantic slave trade dispersed us across the planet. We're all over the place. All right. We are the people. So that's all I got to say. If you want to be free from the curses, get born again. Okay. I'm going to talk about the keeping the law. And if you want to read about that, just do a search on my site. I already talk about all this stuff in written form, and I'm going to be talking about it verbally. And you can learn about all that. But the first thing these Hebrews will tell you, oh, you need to get that law out and follow it. And then God will, you know, that's what we were trying to do prior to this. And we kept failing. The reason why we kept failing is because we did not have the Spirit of God. All right. You can't please God in your flesh. You will fail. You need to be born again. You need power to actually please God. Okay. The law was a taskmaster to keep us until the power came. Okay. And God, for a short period of time, said, okay, the law is sufficient for you now. But once the Holy Spirit comes, once the new covenant comes, I'm dropping that. Now, that doesn't mean that the law is no longer valid. You still should not lie. You should, you know, commit murder and adultery. All that stuff is still valid. It's not like you're not under that now. But the Holy Spirit empowers you to keep all of those commandments. And that's what I want to stress. People keep trying to say, well, Brother Neil and these so-called Christians are teaching that you're not under the law and that somehow you can sin and do all these things and God is okay with you because you said a prayer. No, I don't teach that. The law is good, but the Holy Spirit allows you to keep the law to actually please God. And so you need to walk in the Spirit rather than just trying to pull out the law and read them, the commandments, and try to do them in your flesh. You're going to fail. And that's why Israel kept failing. It just didn't work out, you know? So we need the Spirit of God, and that's what we're under, the new covenant. And so we need to walk in the new covenant and walk in the Spirit. Be born again. Okay? Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. If you're not born again, read the gospel and understand it and accept it. Repent of your sins, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and walk in the Spirit, and then walk in the blessings of God. All right? The curses don't apply to you. White folks be trying to do some racism stuff on you, it just don't work. It'll backfire. Okay, it'll work out for your good eventually. So that's all I got to say for you today. Till next time, just walk in the Spirit. Be blessed.